Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure now to welcome David Vine. He is the author of a new book, Base Nation, How U.S. Military Bases Abroad Harm America and the World, by David Vine, Base Nation. David, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You have a background in writing about military bases, and you've been at this for quite some time. A lot of research went into this book.
It did. 6 years of research for this book alone, research and writing, and I have been looking at the issue for the past 14 years. I think, like many Americans, I didn't think about U.S. military bases overseas at all before that for most of my life. It's an issue that really gets very little coverage in the media, rarely a part of public discussion. And I came to have my eyes opened to the issue when 14 years ago I learned of the story of Diego Garcia, which is a small island in the middle of the Indian Ocean where we have a very large military base. The only reason the United States has a base there is because in the late 1960s and early 1970s, the U.S. and British governments exiled, forcibly removed the entire indigenous people of Diego Garcia and the surrounding archipelago and deported them 1,200 miles away, left them with no resettlement assistance, and the people, unsurprisingly, found themselves quickly living in profound poverty. This story that the Chagossians are still living led me to start to ask some questions about the base network. First of all, why did the U.S. government officials think it necessary to remove this entire people? But also, why does the United States have a military base in the middle of the Indian Ocean? Does it need one? Is that base protecting the United States? And does the United States need the hundreds of bases overseas that we've been maintaining for now more than 70 years since World War II? Now we have about 800 bases outside the 50 states and Washington, D.C. My new book, Base Nation, asks what these bases are doing in the world, and are they making us more secure? And as I've found, they've, in a range of ways, been actually harming people around the world, including us here at home.
800 bases around the world. We're not talking about a small base. These are pretty good-sized operations, aren't they?
There are a range of sizes, but some of them are huge, frankly. Some of them are city-sized bases with tens of thousands of troops and family members, complete with housing and hospitals and schools, shopping, fast food, the works. They look often like a sort of idealized suburban setting. So that's at the upper end. Some of the bases are considerably smaller. They don't have family members. But those bases should be of concern to us as well because, for one, bases, once they're established, have a tricky tendency to expand in size and to implant themselves, entrench themselves through just inertia, stay in place, even if there isn't a good reason, a good strategic or other reason to maintain the base.
The history of bases, and you did a fair amount of history in the book Base Nation. This is a long history of military conquest. A military goes into a region, they establish a base, a fort, if you will. We had forts across the western United States as the U.S. moved from the eastern colonies out to the Pacific. There's a long history in this, but then it really took off, interestingly, in 1940.
That's exactly right. There have been foreign bases that the military has established dating to the conquest of the West. Some bases outside the continental United States in places like Guam and the Philippines, Puerto Rico, and of course Guantanamo Bay, which is probably the most best-known foreign base. But it was in the beginning of World War II that President Roosevelt signed what's called the Destroyers for Bases deal, where he traded some World War I-era destroyers to Britain in exchange for 99-year leases on bases in British colonies. And this was the beginning of a massive expansion in the number of U.S. bases overseas that only picked up pace when the United States entered the war, and the U.S. built thousands of bases during the war. And when the war ended, many of those bases were closed, but a very substantial collection of bases remained, certainly the largest collection in world history. And while more bases were built during the Cold War, after the Cold War ended, some of them were closed, a substantial number, but a very large collection remains, probably still the largest collection in world history, the 800 or so. And we don't even know the total for sure, given the problems the Pentagon has in accounting for most everything, including money and its bases.
So literally, the sun never sets on the U.S. empire.
That's exactly right. There are bases everywhere. And while there were about 1,600 bases at the end of the Cold War spread around the world in around 40 countries, they're now about half that number of bases. They're around 800, but they are in 80 countries. So while the total number has shrunk, the breadth of the base network, the spread of the base network has increased substantially. So we see a U.S. military presence in parts of the world where there hasn't been one before. And I think where we haven't really had a debate about or enough information about the consequences of putting bases all over Africa, for example, most of them quite small, but we may be getting involved in conflicts that we know little about. And sometimes we may be inflaming conflicts. Our presence in all too many cases, rather than stabilizing regions or in making the United States and the world more secure in the process, rather than that, all too often bases have destabilized and increased military tensions. So I think there are a number of reasons why people across the political spectrum now are beginning to question this, what some are calling an empire of bases.
We've heard about that idea, and part of it at least goes back to the idea that Osama bin Laden was upset with the United States for having built military bases in Saudi Arabia. How big of a problem is this, and do other countries want to kick the U.S. bases out?
The problem that you pointed to with Osama bin Laden is a substantial one. Osama bin Laden, one of his professed motivations for the attacks of September 11, 2001, was the presence of U.S. bases and troops in Saudi Arabia, which are home to the Muslim holy lands of Mecca and Medina. And what we've seen since September 11, 2001, is that U.S. bases and troops have continued to foment radicalization. And actually, there's a direct correlation between the presence of U.S. bases and troops in the Middle East in particular and al-Qaeda recruitment. So bases are a prime example of how they are often counterproductive and actually creating more threats and danger to the United States. In terms of the countries that might wish to kick the United States out, we've seen that happen on some occasions, going back to also to the Cold War, to countries like Trinidad or France in the 1960s. And more recently, Ecuador refused to renew a lease on a base in Manta, Ecuador, in 2009. Mm-hmm. It's worth noting that the president of Ecuador, Rafael Correa, mentioned at the time that he would renew the lease on the base in Manta on one condition, that the United States allow Ecuador to build an Ecuadorian base in Miami. And of course, this was a laugh line, but it makes an important point that people in the United States can't conceive of a foreign base occupying our land,
right,
when this is the basic state of affairs for people around the world.
So there's this question then of, do these bases all across the world make the U.S. any safer? And above and beyond that, we have a question of economics. You did some calculations in the book Base Nation about how much these bases are actually costing us.
Yeah, in a range of ways, I've found that these bases are making us less secure, are damaging our lives in the United States and the lives of people around the world. And it begins with the economics, that by my conservative calculations for the book, we're spending around $85 billion a year maintaining bases and troops overseas. And that doesn't even count the bases and troops in Afghanistan and Iraq. If you count that, the total could rise to $156 billion a year. And again, that's conservative, so the real total could be even higher. That money's going somewhere, and military contractors are benefiting from a lot of that money. Some of the contractors are U.S. contractors, some are foreign contractors, but a lot of the money stays overseas, including when it's U.S. contractors building and maintaining bases. The money stays in tax havens or one way or another doesn't make its way back to the U.S. economy. So we see a very direct way where U.S. taxpayer money is not being invested in some of the many very pressing needs that we have here in the United States. Our infrastructure has been crumbling. Our public transportation, our roads, our schools, our housing has crumbled while we've been building and maintaining this very robust base infrastructure overseas. And then we look at the ways bases have damaged local communities through environmental harm, through crimes that sadly are committed by a small minority of troops, but when it happens, creates a lot of anger by the kind of displacement faced by the people of Diego Garcia, and a range of other harms that are fundamentally damaging local people and the reputation of the United States and the image of the United States worldwide.
How do we get to true security? What suggestions do you offer, and you do offer them in the book, Base Nation? What about true security? What can be done at this point? Can we actually close some of these bases, and would it be beneficial to do so?
I think the answer is that we absolutely can close some of these bases. The book is not calling for the immediate closure of all overseas bases. Instead, it's calling for a very careful analysis and examination of the need for every single base overseas. Many of these bases have stayed open for more than 70 years and out of sheer inertia, and then we need to question whether they're necessary and what they're doing. The answer is not, though, to close bases and just sort of retreat into an isolationist United States. The closure of bases really has to be paired with boosting our diplomatic powers, our diplomatic forms of engagement, as well as economic, social, cultural forms of engagement with other countries, other peoples, so that we don't just leave a power vacuum, but instead maintain our alliances. And one important way to maintain our alliances and to allay the fears of those who would say, if we close bases, that means we're undermining our security, is to point out that the United States military, given its power and technological advancements, can actually deploy its forces overseas, in most cases, just as quickly from domestic bases as it can from bases abroad.
Mm-hmm.
So we could back up any allies in the case of an emergency or any imminent threat with bases and troops at home.
David Vine, the book is Base Nation. It is extremely well-researched. It is intriguing. There's history. There's a lot of information in here, and it is on a topic that most of us overlook, but one that is extremely important. Base Nation, How U.S. Military Bases Abroad Harm America and the World, by David Vine, Base Nation. David, well done, and thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you. It's been a pleasure.